Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside.
Episode 47, Blood on the Land. Hello, I'm Gary.
And I'm Ruth. Welcome to the fifth episode in the Saga of Branwen.
If you'd like to contact us or leave us any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at CelticMythShow@gmail.com.
You can also leave us some voice feedback using the SpeakPipe widget thingy on our website at CelticMythPodShow.com. We always like to hear from you.
We do. You can also find the show notes for this episode online at CelticMythPodShow.com/Blood on the Land. So, have we got any news and views?
Well, funny you should say that.
As some of us are still spending a lot of time at home, we wanted to talk to you about some of the super online music and the shows that you can find to help you survive.
There are lots of bands holding live concerts on Facebook. So far, the super Aussie band Spiral Dance have held two concerts. Fabulous Dave the Bard is holding regular house concerts. We'll hear a bit more about Dave later. And Celia and Tuatha Dea, along with some other bands, held an online pub crawl playing their amazing music. Some of the past concerts can still be found on YouTube too.
Lots of these events are actually free to watch. Due to the coronavirus, many musicians have now found all of their gigs for this year have been cancelled. So, if you can, please support these artists by donating a little to their tip jar or the busker's hat.
It's well worth keeping an eye on your favourite band or singer's Facebook pages to find out when their online concerts are going to be held. Let's do our best to support them in these difficult times. You'll find links to those we've mentioned in the show notes.
You will. So, find your favourite musician on Facebook. Check out whether they're making online content for you to join in with.
If you'd like to support us by joining our patrons at patreon.com and help us to continue to create new content, please go along and visit patreon.com/Celtic Myth Podcast. We'd be forever grateful.
We really would. And now I think it's about time that we crack on with the story. So, shall we have a reminder and see what happened in the last episode?
Absolutely.
She knew that Bran and her brothers loved her deeply, and their choice would be the right one for her.
So tell me, my friend from over the narrow sea, why you think that I, as the High King of the Island of the Mighty, should give my one and only pure and beautiful sister to you as your bride?
Well, Erin has a mighty horde of warriors, and each is a champion, my lord. The mountains of Erin have withstood the ravages of many invasions.
Our tribes are many. Our warriors are strong. Surely that you're not suggesting that we bend the knee to the High King of Erin?
Oh, not at all, my lord. Exactly so. And should the fair maid, your sister Branwen, produce an heir to me, then that heir may, in turn, be chosen as High King of the two islands.
Now Bran looked at her, and his eyes seemed to see right through her into some unknown future.
It has been agreed that Lady Branwen will marry the King Matholoch, bringing about a union of royal blood and our two mighty islands. Let us depart from this place on the morrow and begin the celebrations for the wedding of our sister Branwen to the Lord Matholoch.
Dark of the night, when the bodies of two lovers entwine, a strong magic is born that is older than the hills. It blooms like a fresh rose when their skin glows velvet smooth in the light of 100 candles. It rushes up in waves amongst bundled furs, and it shines brightly in their eyes when their gazes lock. When they finally sleep, with unruly, sweat-soaked hair flung around each other like a wet hood of shadows, their dreams are deep and filled with an unknowable peace. So it was with Branwen and Matholwch. As the bright fire of dawn began to shine through the fields of pitched tents, they awoke in each other's arms. With smiles and sweet words, they listened to the stewards outside their tent arguing about assembling the horses for the bride price. Matholwch arose, pulled on his trews and shirt before striding out to take part in the discussion about his horses. He, Bran and the stewards agreed that the horses would be quartered in every available place to hand, right down to the sea. Stable hands were billeted with them, and provisions were allocated for the well-being of these most noble of beasts. It was not long after this that Nissian and Evnissian returned from Rome, their ship gliding into port. The twins disembarked, and not finding the family at Harlech, Nissian headed off to Aberfraw to join his brothers and sisters. Evnissian declared that he would stay in Harlech for a while before heading off to the wedding negotiations. It was hard for him to find pleasure among the hustle and bustle of the royal court, especially when his fine brothers and beautiful sister were not here, and he began to brood about the sorry path that the fates had seen fit to lay before him. He could tease and encourage discord among the servants for only so much, though, and in an even blacker mood, he strolled through the mud and off into the hills. It was on one of his long walks that Evnissian came across a field filled with the finest and noblest horses he had ever seen. He knew horses well, and their strong, gentle inner peace often smoothed Evnissian's troubled breast. As he approached, he spotted the two grooms brushing their silky coats and talking to the horses with gentle words. Evnissian strode towards them.
You there?
Yes, my lord, Evnissian.
Tell me, who owns these fine steeds?
They belong to Matholwch, High King of Fair Erin.
What are they doing here?
They are the bride price for the hand of Branwen. The marriage is agreed and Matholwch has slept with your sister. These are his horses.
So this is what they have done with a maid as fair and as good as her? My own sweet sister, sold without my consent. Am I not kin? My brothers could not have insulted me more.
With that, Evnissian withdrew his dirk, grabbed hold of the stable boy and repeatedly stabbed him. The other Irish groom started running like the wind and made his way back to the crowds at Aberfraw for safety. And then Evnissian walked into the paddock and admired the fine, oh, so very fine steeds that the Irish king had brought to the Island of the Mighty. And although they wickered at the smell of blood on his dirk, his fey blood calmed them. Evnissian knew horses very well, and he was an excellent horseman. And one by one, he hobbled those noble steeds so they could not run. He started striking at the horses. He sliced their lips back to their teeth and their ears back to their heads and their tails to their backs. And wherever he could get a grip on their eyelids, he would cut these back to the bone. One by one, with the screams of the mutilated horses and the bitter smell of freshly spilled blood in his nostrils, Evnissian attacked all of the horses in the paddock. In this way, his flashing blade maimed them all so that these fine, beautiful horses would no longer hold any value as a bride price. Their distress and blood loss would make them of no further use to anyone. Evnissian smiled to himself in glee, sure that the betrothal would now be broken.
Now let the marriage proceed.
In ages long gone by, when the greenery on the mountainsides was untouched by the works of man, when the sun gleamed brightly from the newly made mountain peaks and the rivers ran sparkling and sweet to the sea, the first ones arrived to dance on the mother's green mantle. They brought the light of spirit into a new world. They brought knowledge, wisdom and craft and taught those first men how to live their lives in harmony with the universe. The first ones brought many wonders with them from their otherworldly home. They brought treasures of such exceeding beauty that men marveled to see them. They also brought steeds, fine, noble and proud steeds with fey blood flowing through their veins. They bought them to show their link to the land, as a sign of sovereignty and a link to the great queen. To give a gift of these wondrous animals was an honour uncountable by men, for to do so would be to share the lifeblood of the land. Motherluch was resting in his pavilion long after the sun had risen when he heard the messenger run up to the guards outside his tent and beg for admission. He heard the gruff voices of the guards trying to send the boy away, and then suddenly they all went quiet. The tent flap opened. The young stable hand entered and told his tale. He told of the mutilation that had been wrought upon Matherloch's most noble steeds, and he told of the tall, bronze-skinned Welshman who had attacked the horses. The Irish king was furious, and he summoned his most trusted companions to him, asking him for their counsel.
"There is now no joy to be had from our horses. They have been ruined. My bride price has been spoiled, and my honour has been severely tarnished."
"It is true, Lord. Much shame has been brought on our heads."
"It's much worse than just the bride price, my lord. The Island of the Mighty has insulted our sovereignty itself. The Land of Erin herself has been mutilated and humiliated by this cowardly act."
"I am sure the insult was deliberate. Such an act of extreme violence."
"But I don't understand. If it's war they crave, why would they give me the hand of their fairest maiden? She is of such high rank and beloved to all her kin. In time, any child we might be blessed with would be heir to both the Islands of the Mighty and the Emerald Isle. Why would they do that? More to the point, what can I do now?"
"Lord, it is obvious. We must return to our ships and debate our next course of action."
"I agree. Send for Branwen. When she arrives, we will launch our ships and depart for Ireland at once."
When Branwen entered the king's pavilion, she was confused and then heartbroken when she heard of the mutilation of Matherloch's fine steeds. With tears falling gently down her cheeks, she listened as the king told her they would be departing on the instant.
"I understand your need to leave, my lord, but I've not said goodbye to my family. I cannot accompany you to your ships without taking leave from my brother."
"You will accompany me. We will look after you on my flagship while we decide what to do."
"Then, sir, allow me to say my farewells to my kin."
"My king, we do not have time for such pleasantries. After such great insult, we need to sit in council urgently and decide what is to be done. We will be safe aboard our own ships."
"That is so. Come, my lady. We can brook no further delays."
With that, they made for their ships, each one under a cloud of darkness. The Irish king and his close retinue departed the fields of Aberfraw and left orders for the servants to pack their tents and baggage for departure. Branwen knew that if she could not calm her husband down, bring his sense of outrage and righteous indignation back down to a level, then there would be war between the two islands, and that she could not bear. So as they rowed back to the ships, her gentle words flowed like sweet honey from her mouth and cooled the heat of Matherloch's anger. Good news is an incredible thing. It lifts the heart and makes the soul sing with joy. The bearer of good news is welcomed with open arms, a full table, and the best ale in the house. On the other hand, bad tidings are not welcomed, and the bearer often shunned. Strange it is, then, that bad news flies about the land far faster than any good news can. When Idig, the son of Anarawd, came to Bran to deliver the most awful, the most horrific bad tidings, he wondered how these tidings would be received. Would Bran's temper get the better of him, or would he remain calm?
"My lord, the Irish king has left your court and travels back to his ships."
"What? He hasn't asked my leave? Why was he so rude?"
I know not, my lord."
"Quick, my lord, take hither here and take up with Matholoch and ask him why he has left my court without taking his leave from me, and make sure you find out what his plans are."
So Idig and Heveyv the Tall mounted swift horses and raced off along the narrow strand to catch up with Matholoch and his retinue. They galloped across the greens of Aberfraw and onto the Stade, where Matholoch's men were loading the ships for departure.
"We have come from the High King, Bran, my lord. He wishes to know why you have left his court and what you are planning to do now."
"By the gods, I will tell you true. Sirs, if I had known that would happen when we stepped onto these shores, I would never have come. I have been thoroughly insulted. In all of our histories and all of our tales, no king and no land has ever been more insulted than I have."
"Lord?"
"My fine horses have all been mutilated and a great insult has been done to me and the Island of Erin."
Matherloch then told the two nobles exactly what had happened in the paddock and how his horses had been treated. He also described the attacker, and both of the Welsh princes recognised immediately that it was Efnisien who had attacked the horses. They were filled through with horror. This was an act that could start a war between the two islands.
And there is something else that I'm totally confused about. I just don't understand what has happened, or the thinking behind it.
What are you talking about, Lord?
Well, Branwyn, daughter of Thea, was given to me, and she is one of the high matriarchs of this isle, and a daughter of the King of the Island of the Mighty. I even slept with her. The insult was done to me after our agreement. It seems strange to me that the insult which was done to me was committed prior to such a great maiden being given to me.
The gods know, my lord, that it was not by the will of he who rules the court, nor by any of his council, that you will be insulted in this way. You have been insulted this day, it is true, but as a host. Bran has suffered an even greater insult. Mockery has been made of his hospitality, and great dishonour falls on him after his promise of Branwen's hand to you, his future brother.
I suppose so. But the High King will never be able to do anything about the dishonour that I am left with.
Bran was pacing from his pavilion to the nearest fire and back again as he waited for the messengers to return from their visit to Matholwch and bring him tidings. The midday meal had been loaded onto the long tables and many warriors were eating heartily. Bran could not eat, however, and he turned away all offers of a drink to quench his thirst on the roasting hot day. He could feel the delicate peace made between the Island of the Mighty and the Emerald Isle after Branwen's hand fasting slip away into the sea like sea foam atop the breakers that rolled up onto the strand at Aberfraw. What could have happened to upset the Irish king so? Why would he dare insult the Welsh court by leaving without formally taking his leave? The more he paced, the more his mind grappled with fears and worries. Bran heard a clamour on the edges of his camp and his heart leapt.
That must be Edeg and Heve returning.
True enough. After a few minutes, the tall helm of Heve's could be seen weaving its way through the crowd. Edeg was at his side, and they both strode quickly up to Bran. He went to sit down at one of the tables and gestured for them to join him. Absent-mindedly nibbling at a piece of cheese, he said,
"What news, my friends? What news?"
"He feels he has been greatly insulted, my lord. And not only that, but the whole land of Erin has suffered humiliation."
"How could this be?"
"Evnissian was seen attacking the horses in their paddocks as they were ranged along the coast of Ardidwy. He mutilated them, and now they are no use to anyone. You have been put into a position of wrongdoing, and the Irish have had the honour of their sacred land. Their king and the wedding of Branwen thrown down into the mud for the swine to walk over."
Bran threw his hands up in despair, a look of complete confusion crossing his face like a summer breeze, only to rest in the wrinkles of worry sitting on his forehead.
"We cannot let Matholwch leave while he feels so insulted. His quarrelsome mood may well prompt war. I suspect that's what Evnissian wants anyway."
"What can we do, my lord?"
"We must send messengers after him and see if we can broker some peace between us."
"Aye, I will send messengers to try and achieve that goal. Manawydan, son of Lea, take Hefed the Tall and rouse Unig Strongshoulder to go after him."
"Yes, lord."
"Make sure you tell him that we'll give him a fine and healthy horse for each of his that are ruined. And together with that, as an honour payment, he will get a silver rod as thick as his little finger and as tall as himself, and a gold plate as broad as his face."
"We will do so, my brother."
"Tell him about Evnissian and the kind of man he is and who did this terrible deed. Make sure he knows that it is against my will. Tell him that this was my own half-brother who committed this atrocity, and as such, it is not easy for me to kill or destroy him. I am bound by a kin law not to harm him."
"And if he seems reluctant, my lord?"
"Let him come and meet me, and I will make peace on whatever terms he might desire."
So the messengers set out for the Irish ships. Bran watched them depart, the three nobles with their retinues riding for the long sandy beaches of Aberfraw, where the Irish fleet had either lain at anchor or had rested on the soft sand.
In our next episode, Bran is forced to make a desperate offer to the Irish king in order to secure his peace.
I wonder what that is.
So after the story, have we got any listener feedback?
I think we have, actually.
Hello, Gary and Ruth. Just wanted to say a huge thank you for your show. I recently found Celtic Myth Pod Show and have absolutely loved it. I especially wanted to say thank you for all your work that you put in on the first half of the story of Puig, as I was able to take your show as inspiration for my own radio show style project for my folklore mythology final here in college. So a huge thank you again. I was definitely not able to do a 2 to 3 hour production like your guys. Mine was only about 20 minutes. But here's hoping I get an A. You guys are lovely, and thank you again for everything you do. Bye-bye.
Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for sending your feedback.
We hope that your project went well and that you did get an A. Let's know how you got on. We'd love to know.
Yes, we would. We hope you're continuing to enjoy the shows.
Thank you. Thank you. I think it's time now for a promo.
So let's have a listen to Colin and Ian introduce the Magical Crones Porch podcast.
Hi, I'm Colin.
Hi, I'm Ian.
And welcome to the Crones Porch. Pull up a rocking chair.
Throw on your favorite lap blanket.
Well, we have a monthly chat about paganism, magic, and the Crone Path.
Join us while we explore the depths of what it means to be a Crone and how we're trying to figure that out.
How we work with magic and walk our pagan paths.
And how we explore cultural traditions, both past and present.
With plenty of kvetching.
Come for the conversation?
Stay, because we're so delightful.
You can find us on Spotify, Anchor FM, or wherever your favorite podcasts are streamed.
Shlan!
До свидания!
That was the Crones Porch podcast. Colin and Ian chat about all things pagan and witchy and have a lot of fun along the way.
They also do special shows for the seasons, don't they?
They do, that's true. I haven't been going long, but this show is one to follow.
We'll definitely keep up with that one.
Oh, yeah.
And now I think it's time for us to play you some fantastic music before we leave you for the week. The amazing Dave the Bard has got the third branch of the Mabinogion completed, and the album is now available for pre-order. And you should be able to get hold of it by the 1st of June 2020.
You can also order CDs of the first two branches of the Mabinogi from Dave's website, all of them featuring Kerry Lee's beautiful artwork. A link to Dave's website can be found in the show notes at CelticMythPodShow.com/Blood on the Land. We're very privileged to be allowed to bring you the first music track, which is called The Stones and Bones of Albion, and it's on his forthcoming album, A Mabinogi, the Third Branch.
I can't wait to hear the whole album.
Until then. So we'll see you next week.
Until then.
Hulvar.
As we rode, and when we made camp, the young bard, Taliesin, sang the songs of the land, of hill, of valley, of lake, and of mountain stream. He told the tales of the old people, the songs of standing stone and sacred mound, and the time passed, as sure as night follows day. There was a time I was sure I might see my home nevermore, and the blood and the tears of the war would last forever. Our king gazes over the sea, two blessed ravens fly high and fly free, and I pray that I'll always be forever. Where high water falls into valleys below, and Merlin's great mountains are painted with snow, and the circles of stones whisper stories of long ago. For if ever I the stones and bones of Albion, the land and sea, my home, my heart will always remain. And how I need to hear the songs from the stones and bones of Albion. This is where my soul belongs.
shining brow, singing from every tree. The birds, the beasts, sing the stones and bones of Albion. Hear as the song of the wind joins with the voice of the bard as he sings of magic and cauldrons and kings forever. Sing of the wisdom of trees, how the druids told all of their lore to the bees, reflected in all that he sees forever. Falls into valleys below, and Merlin's great mountains are painted with snow, and the circles of stones whisper stories of long ago. For if ever I may roar from the stones and bones of Albion, land and sea, my home, my heart will always remain. And how I need to hear the songs from the stones and bones of Albion. This is where my soul belongs. The shining brow singing from every tree. Birds, the beasts, sing the stones and bones of Albion. What are these visions I see of oak, broom and meadow sweet, of eyes that yearn to be free forever? Two dragons take to the wind. A sword is drawn from a stone as he sings of a boy born to be king forever. And high water falls into valleys below, and Merlin's great mountains are painted with snow, and the circles of stones whisper stories of long ago. For if ever I may roam from the stones and bones of Albion, the land and sea, my heart will always remain. And how I need to hear the song from the stones and bones of Albion. This is where my soul belongs.
have been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show. If you enjoyed listening to this show, please come and support us on Patreon at patreon.com/Celtic Myth Podcast.
We hope you'll stay tuned for the next episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us at CelticMythShow@gmail.com or come and chat to us on social media. All of the links are on our contact page on our website at CelticMythPodShow.com.
We'd also like to send out a big shout of thanks to Coolan's Hounds for our theme music, and that's available at sfhounds.com.
This show is a Celtic Myth Show production.